Paul, tell me about the show we just saw here at LitFest 2.0.
Hi, Dot. Yeah, I'm happy to tell you. This was a staged reading of the History Lit play Two Pictures in One, based on the Harriet Beecher Stowe story, The Two Altars Are Two Pictures in One. The show was produced in full production last year at the Fenius Estate as part of the first full History Lit production. Today was our stage reading for LitFest. They asked us to come in and do a reading, and they specifically asked for this show. So we were happy to present it to the audience today.
That was an incredible show. You managed to juxtapose two episodes in history. What can you tell me about those?
Well, honestly, that was all from Harriet Beecher Stowe. She basically wrote this story looking at two points in American history and the idea of what freedom means and the consequences as such. You know, she looked at a Caucasian family during the American Revolution and then an African-American family in 1850 after the Fugitive Slave Law was passed in 1850 and, you know, about a decade before the Civil War actually broke out. So just juxtapositioning what the idea of freedom means and the price of such, depending on, you know, your location in time, your position in time, race, of course, being a huge factor in that, being an abolitionist story.
Our audience won't have seen it. So what's going on in Two Pictures in One?
In Two Pictures in One, you have these two families, the Caucasian family during the American Revolution. You have a mother who is raising her two young sons. One is a teenager, the other is approaching his teenage years. And she's married to a captain who is fighting with General Washington during the American Revolution to free the country from the confines of the British Empire, if you will. And at the same time, downstream along in time, if you will, time being malleable with the story, you have this African-American family set also in Boston. Both stories are set in Massachusetts. And you have a mother, an African-American mother, who's preparing dinner with her young daughter, and they start talking about freedom and what that means. Both of them were born free in Massachusetts, and references to her husband and the girl's father, who was born in Georgia, was not a free man. And eventually, in the African-American family, the father comes home. You learn he was a slave, but no longer, and is living in Boston. He's escaped from slavery. And meantime, back in 1777, the Caucasian family, you have the second son returns home to the house, and you discover that there are commissioners who were looking for supplies for the front during the American Revolution. And so the family decides to gather their goods and things they could donate to the cause. And then the show shifts back and forth between 1850 with the African-American family and 1777 with the Caucasian family during the American Revolution. Eventually, two men are introduced into both time periods. During the American Revolution, they are commissioners who are sent to gather supplies for the front. In the 1850, they are basically bounty hunters seeking fugitive slaves, wanting to take the slaves back into slavery and sell them on the block. And so you have the same actors playing both the commissioners in 1777 and the bounty hunters in 1850. So basically what happens is we shift back and forth between the two families. The family during the American Revolution the mother learns that her husband has perished in the American Revolution. Her elder son wants to take his father's place, and of course she doesn't want to do that because of the risk of losing her son as well. On the other side, in the African-American family, the slave hunters are here to take George, the patriarch of that family, back to Georgia to resell him back into slavery. So that's basically what happens, and we juxtapose back and forth with the same actors playing the commissioners and the slave hunters jumping back and forth in time as they interact with these two families, and of course bringing tragedy upon both families.
As both women lose their men, in effect.
Correct. Correct.
What was the biggest challenge for you in bringing this from the printed page to the stage?
Figuring out how to tell both stories at the same time. Harriet Beecher Stowe entitled the story to Two Altars or Two Pictures in One. And the way the original story is written, you have one family's story told in its entirety, the white family during the American Revolution. And then when that story's over, you have the second family, which is the African-American story, right in 1850. So one story ends, and then immediately after that, it's like chapter two is this story. So way to combine both of those stories and tell them as one story was the biggest challenge. And then by juxtaposing time and jumping back and forth, I hope I was able to accomplish that with the play, actually creating two pictures of two stories being told at the same time.
Do people get a chance to see this again this summer?
Probably not this summer. This was the only reading planned for any of our History Lit plays this year. History Lit is on hiatus this year. We plan to bring it back in 2014 in some fashion. We don't know what that will be yet. We have to choose a theme, figure who the partner is going to be, and all of that. So this may have been the only opportunity to hear one of the history that plays this year. It will be back in the future, though.
Tell me, though, about what Unbound Productions is doing. You have something exciting coming up?
Well, our biggest project this year, of course, is our annual Wicked Lit Halloween Theater Festival. Again, along the lines with History Lit, Wicked Lit takes classic horror stories and adapts them for performance, and then we stage them in alternative venues. And we're planning to be back at Mountain View Mausoleum and Cemetery. Again, this will be our fourth year there. And so we're in the planning stages on what this year's festival is going to be, what this year's Wicked Lit is going to be. It's our fifth anniversary production overall, so we want it to be our biggest and best Wicked Lit ever. And so that's the next big thing on our horizon for Unbound is Wicked Lit 2013.
Any idea yet what stories you're presenting?
We have several candidates that are in the mix. We're pretty close to announcing our final decisions, and we should be able to do that most likely within the next few weeks. We'll be able to announce exactly what it is, but we definitely have some strong candidates for this year.